The First Epistle General of John. 1 John 1.
That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, and walk in darkness, we lie, and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us.
Praise the Lord. This is Deacon Thomas Farr, and this is Issues Christian Men's Talk, our newest episode. Thank you for joining us. All those who called in at 646-668-2636. We see you on the switchboard, on the key switchboard here. You press 1 on your keypad, and if you want to join the conversation, then share your insights and wisdom. Today we're going to be talking about the tools we need for our spiritual toolbox that we are growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord. Amen. So we're going to touch on a couple of things. This is the second part of a discussion we had earlier in one of our early episodes, talking about the tools that we need, study tools for us to study the Word. We talked about Bibles, study Bibles, concordances, and Bible dictionaries, these reference materials that we should have on our shelf, and to be able to study, understand the Word, get into the deeper understanding of what Scripture is, and how those tools helped us out. We're going to review some of that today, but also we're going to talk about some other books that were written by sound biblical teachers, some theologians, and we're going to share those books with you also. So I encourage you to get something to write with, something to write down in some scriptures, and get something to write down, pen, piece of paper, so that we can take some notes to encourage you. But you always go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr, and you can listen to the archive and go back and listen to our conversation today. Also, if you've received the link on your phone, we encourage you to share with a brother that you know to help him in his growth, or those in your circle of influence, or those that you're mentoring and discipling, just to encourage them in the things of God, into the study of the Word. Because it's the Word of God and the Holy Spirit within us is how we live a life that's obedient and pleasing to him. Because we all want to stand before Christ and hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." But it all begins in the Word. Because everyone starts the same, at the same opportunities. And it's something we mentioned in our earlier broadcast that, you know, we have so many tools in this 21st century for us to get an understanding of the Word and the importance of, and then the importance of us studying the Word, because we have to study the Bible, and because we're battling against false teachers, we're battling against the truth and error, and these are the things that, and the only way we can overcome those things is to know the Word, so when we know, we won't be deceived, and when we're being lied to, we know it's a lie. And to govern our lives, because we all going to stand before God and be judged by his Word and what we did with his Word as we understood the Word. So it's across the board, and that's one thing that we talk about here, Issues Christian Men's Talk, that every man's going to stand before God and be judged for the life he lived, his obedience and disobedience. Amen? Well, let me open with prayer, and then we're going to get right into the conversation. Again, if you're online, if you called in, press 1 on your keypad and can bring you into the conversation. And for the brothers that see you online, thank you again for taking time out this morning to listen in. And we are live every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. Again, you call in at 646-668-2636, and we're live every Saturday morning. Amen. Lord God, I say thank you right now. Thank you, God, for who you are and what you've done. God, we just give you all the honor and all the glory, oh God, because you are God alone. We thank you for your strength, power. We thank you for your healing. We thank you for wisdom and discernment. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you today for faith, oh God. We thank you, God, that you have brought us out of darkness into the light, Lord God. You've opened our blinded eyes that we might know you and have eternal life through faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. So, Father, we come to you with gracious hearts, grateful hearts, grateful hearts, oh God, for what you've done and what you're going to do, Lord. Father, lift up every brother on the line, lift up the men you have connected with by blood and by spirit, God. We thank you, God, for our families, our wives, our children and grandchildren, God. We thank you for those in the body of Christ, God. Again, God, we pray for pastors, elders, and those who labor in ministry behind the scenes. And we continue to pray for those in prisons and nursing homes and in hospitals today, oh God. Father, heal the sick, God. Heal the brokenhearted. Heal the emotional, spiritual brokenness in this world. Father, we say thank you right now for what you're about to do. Continue to use us, guide us, and direct us. And thank you, God. And thank you, Lord. And thank you, God, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. 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 All right. So, amen. Hey, Elder Mark, can you hear me, sir? Is that you?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Good morning, my brother. Good morning to you. Blessings to you. Thank you, as always, for allowing me to share with you and converse with you. It's always a pleasure.
Amen, brother. I appreciate you, brother. You're up early, 9 o'clock in the morning, so that's good. Amen. Hey, well, I'm going to start since you're on the line. I know you listened to the last show, but I just want to get your insights. Let's start with a study Bible. What do you say about having a study Bible, how important it is, and you can give me a couple of references. What kind of study Bibles you got on your shelf? What do you say, sir?
Amen, amen. Well, definitely a study Bible is very important. Some of the study Bibles that I've utilized, they will give, you know, some insight on each scripture or a particular verse in the scripture. Give you some context to kind of apply it to life and relate it to even present teachings and understandings. I think a lot of times we get lost in the world, in the word. We get lost in the word because we don't understand all of the vernacular that's used. So a study Bible, for instance, one of the ones I have one that's in NIV version, New International Version. I have one that's a New Living Translation. The one that's a New Living Translation is probably my favorite. It's a men's devotional Bible, New Living Translation, but it's a study Bible that it actually gives some references and it ties other scriptures in as I'm reading through, almost giving I don't want to say for lack of a better term, it actually gives footnotes to the scriptures. So when I'm looking at those, it gives me something else that I can study. And sometimes you'll see a correlation between the different Gospels, you know, between Matthew and Mark or Luke and John. You'll see different correlations, and you're looking at the same story but from a different perspective. It's spoken in a different word, so you can sometimes understand a little better. But when we took the opportunity to study the Bible, the word says, study that will show thyself approved. So when we're doing so, we're getting a greater interpretation. We're Holy Spirit led to an understanding of the word that was written and driven by Holy Spirit. And in that, we get an opportunity for a better understanding where we can apply it to life. I think the biggest thing about studying scripture is being able to apply it to your life so that you can utilize it. To know the verses and to memorize scripture is wonderful. But if you can't apply it to your life to make a change to your life, all you've done is memorize words on a page. But when you apply them, when you put them into action, you study them, you absorb them, you've taken them in, you are blessed in what you hear and what you read and what you see on that page. It now changes your heart, changes your mind, changes your perspective on life from the man who thought he had to be this to an understanding of the role that he's really called into. So I think a study Bible is something that every man, every person, every Christian, everyone should have, because it will give you some direction in understanding the foundation of the doctrines that we believe in. Back to you, sir.
Amen. And I agree. And like you said, that's some of the things we talked about before. But brothers, I just want to encourage you, for those who are listening, who called in this morning at 646-668-2636. These are the things we talk about. The importance of having a Bible. I mean, we all seen the Bible that the quote unquote was the Gideon Bibles in hotel rooms, the dollar store Bible that just, you know, it's the scripture, it's the Word of God. But a study Bible gives more to it. It gives more dimension to it, and it helps you get the word in context. And like the brother mentioned about the cross references to other scriptures and the understanding of where the theme or whatever is being talked about is talked about and taught in other places of scripture. Because I said this before, Jesus says one thing, and then Paul repeats it again in his letters. Or Jesus says one thing that he taught the disciples, and then Peter writes it later on in 1st and 2nd Peter. So we have context of how the Bible is a story that's all connected. Amen. So, brother, what about, there's two more things I want to get your opinion on. A Bible dictionary, what type do you have, and the value of it, and also the Mighty Strong Concordance. What do you say, sir? We already heard the story that it weighs about 10 pounds.
The Strong's Concordance is definitely a blessing to have. That will give you parallel scriptures, relate. So as you're reading, if you're looking at a particular subject, you can look at, let's say, the relationship between husband and wife. You can look at the Strong's Concordance and see scriptures, different scriptures that will actually spell out and speak. It gives you reference points in the Bible to look at that information or that theme or that subject you're looking for, which is also a blessing, because a lot of times there's so many things. There's Old Testament teachings and New Testament teachings, and some of Jesus' teachings go back, reference Old Testament law and prophecy. And when you have a way of tying all those together where you can literally see them mapped out, it's almost like somebody giving you, I'm trying to think of the best word to describe it. It's almost like somebody giving you a breakdown of the Bible by theme to tell you which you can find, where you need, what pages to look on, and what scriptures actually relate to that theme. So when you're looking, you can just apply, and you can look at different sections of the Bible, different books of the Bible, different chapters, different scriptures that all relate on one particular subject, which allows you to see it from different perspectives, different understandings. Sometimes one scripture may be just a little bit too hard to understand the way it's written. A lot of Old Testament writings, I used to just get lost in them, trying to read some of the Old Testament writings. The wording, the vernacular would just lose me. But then when it was correlated and related to a New Testament teaching, and then I related back to the Old Testament teaching, I got a much better understanding. So the Strong Concordance will lead you in a well-versed study of the Bible by relating scriptures. A Bible dictionary is a necessity, There are words in the Bible to this day that I read, I'm like, what does that mean? And what's so crazy, and forgive me, I'm not going to say crazy, what's so amazing about the Word of God is when you change one word, you can sometimes change the entire context of the scripture. And that's why we also have to, once again, I go back to saying we must study to show ourselves approved, because sometimes we miss a word or we say it in the wrong context when repeating a scripture. We were blessed to play this kind of a word game at our ministry at an event we had, and scriptures were read out, and then we were supposed to tell was that exactly what the word said, or was there something missing? And sometimes one word changed the entire meaning of that scripture, of that verse, because the word was just changed around. It was put in a different section, it was just spoken in a different way. And with the Bible dictionary, those words that we don't understand, we can get a better point of view, a different understanding, which allows us to see the entire context of the scripture. And another thing I've got to say is we've got to get past just reading one verse for understanding. When you are looking at a subject, don't just – and the Strong Concordance takes you to a particular scripture. Read that chapter. Read the verses before that and after that. Don't just stop there, because there's more understanding when you go deeper into the word, deeper than just that surface scripture, that one particular scripture that answers your question or that gives the word you're looking for. If you're looking for the word to say relationship and you see the scripture says such and such relationship is this, that, and the other, sometimes it takes reading a few verses before and a few verses after to really understand what it's talking about and what it's saying about that relationship. There's more than just finding one word, matching it up, and saying, I've studied. Take your time to dive deep into the word and to allow it to break down for you. The word will show itself to you. The word will open itself to you. The Holy Spirit will guide you in understanding. The Holy Spirit will interpret for you, but you got to give him the chance. If you only sit down to read a scripture and one verse is all you need, all you read, and you move on and take that for the rest of your day, you're not going to be fed and you're not going to receive the interpretation. You're not going to receive the understanding. You're not going to receive the blessing that is tied into that word for you for that day, for however you came upon it. Take the time to dive a little deeper and find out more. That way your life can be affected by what you've read. Back to you, sir.
Amen, brother. Amen. I agree. I thank you for that, because that is important. And like you say, the cross references, one of the Bibles that I have that I use is the Thompson Chain Reference Bible. That's a Bible where it connects the ideas and the thoughts and the teaching, and it all connects it. That's those cross references with the commentary, and also it gives the themes. It's a lot, and it helps you, again, to be able to digest the word, to be able to take the word in and take it in for understanding, because that's the only way that we can live this life and live and use the Bible what it's called for it to be used. It's our measuring stick, and it's how we distinguish truth from error, the truth from a lie, because there's so many false teachers out here, so many people who quote scripture and quote it out of context, like my brother was saying. And the only way we can combat that and know who we are in Christ and know what we believe and why we believe it is when we go into the Word for understanding of the Word. And these reference tools are having a good study Bible, having the concordance, all the words. And that's something my brother didn't mention, but I want to put out there also. We have to remember, it doesn't matter, any Bible that we're reading in English, from King James, New King James, New Living Translation, we have to remember, going back, that the scriptures were originally written in Hebrew and Greek, different kinds of Greek, but it wasn't written in English. So especially in Greek, the one we have one word for it, but the Greek language has three words. For example, the most famous one is the word love. There's five different definitions in Greek for the word love that we say in English. And there's other words the same way when the New Testament was written, that the words may not mean what we think they mean. And that's where the concordance and the Bible dictionary comes in, so we can get the understanding of what was written when they wrote it in Greek, when they translated it. And then the Hebrew, when you read, I don't speak Hebrew, but when you read the Hebrew and you use the concordance, it helps you understand the word in context. Because even in the example I like to always use is in the Ten Commandments. It says, thou shalt not kill. But the Hebrew word is thou shalt not murder. See, and then that comes back to when we're talking about, being capital punishment, being in the military, because that Hebrew word is murder, not kill, but tradition has taught us, and we repeat it as kill, and that means something else. People try to use that on, a lot of things, because there's a difference between thou shalt not kill and thou shalt not murder. Amen? So this is why we have these opportunities, we have these tools and this reference material for a better understanding as we share the Word of God, as we apply the Word of God, and as we have that understanding that we can also always be a witness in the earth. Amen? Amen. So amen. With saying that, amen, some other things, some other tools and things that we want to encourage the brothers to have on your bookshelf. There's a couple of books referenced out here. I know, brother, you sent me one book. I'm going to share on that one because I think you sent me a text on one of the books you recommended, because this is what we want to put on your library, on your bookshelf. Because the reference ones is one thing, and now there's some other books that can help you that have been written that can help us. One of the ones I'm going to start off with is going to be a book called Knowing the Living God by Paul Washer. And that book is a foundation, really it's a foundational book for the Christian faith. And it talks about scriptures and answers some questions, and it talks about the nature of God, the acts of God. To me, it's a good book because it's like a broad explanation of the Bible and of Scripture, knowing God through the Scripture. Because remember, the Bible is going to tell us about who we are to be and who God is, because that's the main theme and the main point of Scripture, is for us to know God and then how we should live, how God wants us to live. And the more we intake the word, the more we are transformed to Christ's likeness. It's through obedience to his word. But that's why the word is so important. Okay, and then there's another one. I just had it a minute ago. Where'd it go? It's by, where did it go? Man, you know, this is why my computer times out on me. Oh, Knowing the Scripture by R.C. Sproul. This was a book I found early in my faith, and it helped me understand because it takes through the themes and the doctrines of Scripture, and it tells you how to study the Bible because, you know, studying the Bible is different. I say this a lot, and I say this sometimes, and, you know, some leaders, elders, and pastors might get upset, but Bible study is the study of the Bible and not hearing another sermon. And I've learned this over the years. I've been to different Bible studies, and the Bible study where we're discussing a scripture more than someone is preaching a midday service or a sermon, just like on Sundays. But, you know, folk call it Bible study, but you just come to hear another midweek service. I encourage the brothers out there to be in a Bible study where we are reading scripture and we are expounding on that scripture and opening up to understand and what we're talking about, and our questions to be answered. So, you know, some of us have a different format for Bible study, but Bible study should be a group of believers going into the Word to understand the Word, to edify each other, not to listen to someone give another sermon, lecture, or presentation. I'm just saying that because I've been to Bible studies, and it's just sometimes it's just another sermon, and when you have that format, there's no Q&A, there's no inquiring, there's no checking for understanding and application. So I put that out there to the men, to the brothers. Consider it. Consider the Bible studies you're part of. Even if you start a men's group or a men's Bible study, how are you going to handle it? Does it always have to be a presenter, or can we go in? We're going to be talking this week about Romans chapter 8. We're going in on Romans chapter 8 verse by verse for the understanding of it. Or do we need or are we going to do the same format we've always done where someone stands up and talks for 45 minutes and there's no back and forth? Amen? That's just my little 2 cents about Bible study. But it's important that we know Scripture, we understand Scripture, and we know how to study the Bible, because it takes some understanding to be able to study the Bible. And I think some of these external books can help, by reputable and orthodox teachers and theologians. And if you have any, and I'll say this too, brothers, if you have any doubt, you know, to ask your pastor. Ask what he reads, who he reads, who does he study, who does he go to for his reference material. Start there. So it's a lot of things we can be doing to do better, because, again, it's through the Word of God and the Holy Spirit that we're going to grow in his grace and knowledge. So what do you say, sir? Any recommended books or authors that you would share with the brothers?
Yes, definitely, definitely. I ran into my office really quick to grab two books that I've had the pleasure of being in. Actually, right now, my church, led by Apostle Bank, we are doing our Bible study discussion, our Wednesday Bible study, on a book called Multiply, Disciples Making Disciples, and it's written by Francis Chan, along with Mark Buving. It's been an awesome breakdown. Real quick, I just want to share just a few parts of it that are there for encouragement to read, but seven parts we haven't gotten all the way through.
Amen. Oh, go ahead. You got it, brother. Go ahead.
It's part one is living as a disciple. Part two is living as a church. How to study the Bible, and it's an awesome discussion. And I love what you said, Deke, about Bible study not being a sermon. You know, so many times we go to Bible study and we're getting the same preached word that we hear on Sunday, and it does nothing with us, with a desire for us to grow deeper into the Bible. It's just like we get a sermon, and it's almost like the refresher enough to say, well, I don't need to read the Bible again until Sunday because I got enough scripture, and somebody told me what it meant. But we need to go into the Bible for interpretation, for understanding, and that's how we get a relationship with God, is going into his word to understand who he is, and not only who he is, but whose we are. The word says that we are his people. We belong to him. I mean, even words that are so encouraging, like we're inscribed in the palm of his hand. That means he has everything about our lives in his control, in his grasp, in his grip. All we've got to do is let him be in control of it. But books like this Multiply, it gives some questions for each section, that it gives scriptures for each section that allow you to go deeper into an understanding. And one of the questions I just want to that allows discussion, and this was in the section of what is a disciple. It asks, what might hold you back from following Jesus at this point? Are you willing to let go of these things if necessary? And these are just discussion questions that you can have with your men's group or even in your own family, your personal, your home Bible study. This is a book that can lead your Bible study and lead your discussion. There's videos that are on YouTube that he actually breaks down the discussion. So there's just so much with this one that I'm truly impressed with it. Even though we haven't finished it, I'm truly impressed with it and pray that it will be a blessing. Once again, that's Multiply, Disciples Making Disciples. And another one that I grabbed, we both mentioned it, Deacon, about foundational understanding. Kevin Connor, awesome author, he wrote a book called The Foundations of Christian Doctrine, a practical guide to Christian belief. So many times we as Christians don't know what we really believe in. We know the name of Jesus. We know God, but that's the extent of our salvation. I know God. I know he's good. I know he saved me. But what do you know about his doctrines? What do you know about what he says about life? What do you know about the way you're living? What do you know about his existence? What do you know about his nature, his attributes? What do you have a relationship with God, or you just know who he is? Like, do you know God, or do you know of God? And a book like this, The Foundations of Christian Doctrine, gives us true, deep, and directed study and understanding of who God is and his doctrines. I mean, there's so much to look at, but Kevin Connor is one of the authors I would definitely like to mention. Also, there's a study guide. I love to see books that are directed study but also give you a study guide, because the author is taking the time to break down to show you what exactly he's trying to get you to get out of these writings. And I've been blessed by it. This is a book I started studying with Apostle Jonathan Patterson. In our understanding and just for our leadership group, we were looking for just some foundational understanding so that we can be true disciple makers. the best way to be a disciple is to make disciples is to be a true disciple. And a true disciple takes his time to study. The disciples were as strong as they were because they spent time with Christ, because they walked with him, because they had an understanding of his life. They recognized who he was early on because of the way he lived, because of the way he spoke, because of what he shared, because of the way he lived, because of the way he loved, because of the miracles that he did. But they had a relationship with him. And the only way we get relationship with God is taking time and spending it with him. And the best way to spend time with him is something that directs the study, directs you into understanding, and that can guide you. So I think books that are spirit-led, like Multiply and Foundations of Christian Doctrine, another author right here from my own city, Bishop Bart Pierce, another book that I'm just starting to read. It's called The Sent, The Removed, and The Disqualified. I've literally gotten into the first page, and I'm already kind of stuck in. I started reading it late last night, and it got a little too late. I was up till almost like 1 o'clock this morning looking through the foreword and just trying to understand what he was speaking about. And this actually talked about taking the church outside of the four walls, the church as the starting point, the standing point, not being within the building, going out and building a ministry that equips people, that trains people. So for the leaders listening, this is a wonderful book about church leadership and stepping outside, growing in numbers, but making sure that no matter how big or how small you are, you're equipping people to go out and equip other saints. So that way, when people are equipped, they're built up for the battle. They're prepared for the fight, because we're all going to face something that we're not prepared for when we're not equipped. Taking the Bible as your plan of action, as your direction for life, is one of the best things that you will ever do, and it's the best decision I ever made, was to lean on the Bible and to take full trust in this word and apply it to my life. And it has been life-changing, life-directing. And every day when I read the word of God, I'm amazed that I find something else to lead me through that day, to get me through. So I just encourage each and every brother listening, each and every person that's going to go back on the line and listen, take some time to spend it in scripture. Whether you start with 7 minutes or whether you start with an hour, wherever you start, take the first step today to make a consistent, directed study into the Bible so that you can get some interpretation and Holy Spirit can work on your heart, your mind, and your soul and guide you to the new life that God has for you. Back to you, sir.
Amen, brother. I appreciate that. My brothers, I pray that you hear something today that will encourage you in spiritual growth, because this is all about spiritual growth. As men of God, we got to be able to lead in the home, in the community, and in the church. And the only way we can do that is to feed on his word. I want to give a couple of scriptures here for reference, because we're talking about spiritual growth. Let me say this about, I said this before, and I want to continue to say it. Spiritual growth is not, you're not growing in Christ for title or position. You're growing in Christ to please him and be used by him. Because every one of us was created and we were born and we are saved in the body of Christ for a purpose. God has a purpose for our lives. We may not know it now, we may not see it, but God has a purpose. And the way that we can become useful to God in the fulfilling of the Great Commission, of his call, or what he wants to do in the earth, is for us to know him and know his word. So I'm going to give a couple of scripture references for your edification and growth. Luke chapter number 8, verse 15. John chapter 15, verses 1 through 6. And Ephesians chapter 4, verses 12 to 16. But I want to read to you John. I want to go to John because, you know, this is one of my favorites. And I use this a lot when I talk to people, when I talk about their growth and where they are in Christ and what are they doing. What are you doing to grow in him? Are you abiding? So we're going to John chapter 15, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 6. The word says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Verse 3. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Verse 5, I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you cannot do anything. In verse number 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned up. So that abiding, that's how we can abide. We abide by obedience to the Holy Spirit, and we abide that we continue, we stay, we have to have a systematic consistency of study of the Word of God. And that's in our personal life. And we have to get to the place where we're just not waiting to be spoon-fed the Word, where we're seeking and we're pursuing the Word, because we have the tools. There's so many tools out there that we can use as brothers, as men, as individuals. And then I always encourage the brothers, are you studying the Word with your wife? Are you preparing to study with your children? Are we in a Bible study where we're being challenged to come with understanding of the Word? What are we bringing to the table on Bible study? Let me say it like that. That's why I had the comment about going to another service. They listen to someone again lecture or preach to you, as compared to going to a Bible study when we are discussing the Scripture. And what I got out of it and what you got out of it, and now we're coming together and we're reasoning together for understanding. Because, again, if you get five men in the room and they read a passage of Scripture, they're going to get five different perspectives from it because of their life experience. And then that can help us to understand, and that can help us grow, because now we know how we get an understanding of how folk can read Scripture and misunderstand it, but they get something else out of it that might be able to, they can communicate with us, that encourage us, or that we can hear their side of it and be able to use that at another time when opportunity presents itself, when we're speaking to another brother or another believer who may be going through something, and then their experience, you know, it's a lot. But if we're not doing that, we're never going to get there. So what are we pursuing as men when it comes to the study of the Word? Amen? So, brother, I just want to encourage you in that. And I just wanted to, you know, I found a couple of my books that I wanted to mention on here. The book is called Knowing Scripture by John MacArthur. He's one of the authors that I read. His books I have on the shelf says Knowing to Study the Bible by John MacArthur. I looked it up. It runs between five and seven dollars, depending where you find it. I'll give a cheap commercial message here. Christianbook.com is my favorite bookstore, because I just wait till stuff is on sale at 75%, 80%, 90% off, and then I buy it. I'm just saying, there's always a sale. You just got to be patient. but Christianbook.com. You can go to some of the websites. Another book I would encourage for the brothers, for men of God, is the book is called Man of God by Charles Stanley. And Charles Stanley was a pastor down there in the First Baptist Church of Atlanta. He recently passed away within the last year, if I remember correctly. But he had written a book called The Man of God by Charles Stanley. That book was a blessing. And there's so many other books out there that we can read that will help us grow, that would encourage us in our manhood and our masculinity. But again, all these books and these materials, they always reference back to the understanding and application of Scripture. And I think that's the biggest thing we have to get into our heads, that it's more than Sunday. But let me say this, and I'm going to come back to you, Elder Mark. Something I always share at our Man Up events, or even in men's ministry when we're talking to folk, even if I meet someone and they confess to be a Christian, my first conversation about them is, hey, what did your pastor preach on Sunday? Because I think we are local congregations. As your local pastor, the sermon you hear on Sunday and those scriptures can be the launching pad for the devotional for the rest of your week. If you don't have none of the books we mentioned, we've been talking now for, 40 minutes. If you have none of those bibliographic materials and you ain't got no money right now, you don't get paid till next week. Sunday's service and the scripture that your pastor gives, that message, just go and go into that scripture and deep dive that scripture. And I'll say this, we talked about this on the show, you know, there's so many Bible study tools online. Elder, while you're talking, I'm going to pull some up so I can share with the brothers. But because a lot of that's the other thing, besides ChristianBook.com, because I like having paper books and stuff. But you can go online. The technology's there. Your phone. I don't know what you do with your phone, good, bad, or whatever, but I know you can get an app on your phone that can help you grow in your faith. Amen? What do you say, sir?
Amen. Definitely. I'll let you speak on the apps, but I'm an advocate of utilizing the phone applications. Holy Bible is one of the apps that I use. Oh my goodness, it's just so much. But I wanted to go back to spiritual growth. It was a scripture that that was shared with me during a convocation that we've been going through. But it's Colossians 2:6-8. And I just want to read it to you guys in the NIV version. And this is about spiritual growth as well. And it reads, verse 6 says, "So then, just as you receive Christ as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human traditions and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than Christ." Spiritual growth comes from leaning on God and not the ways of the world. Don't get caught up in all these crazy teachings that aren't spiritually based, but you find what is spiritually based. You find what is really of God in books like Foundations of Christian Doctrine, in books like what Deacon Farr shared, from authors like Charles Stanley. You find those directed studies, those people that have taken the time to go into the Bible, have taken the time to just allow Holy Spirit to lead them so that you can get an understanding. That is truly what discipleship is about, is getting an understanding so you can share it with somebody else that they would have an understanding, because you may be the only relatable person that they'll accept the word from. You may be the only one that your best friend or your brother will accept the word from after he sees a change in your life. Someone else may be a joke to him, but you may be the very one. And if you don't take the time to get into the instruction manual, how can you help instruct him? I was blessed with the opportunity to share a preached word at one point that I spoke about the comparison of utilizing the Bible as an instruction manual. You can have all the weapons in your arsenal going into war, but if you don't know how to load the gun, if you don't know how to take out that magazine, put in the bullets, put the magazine chamber around, if you don't know what to do, having an arsenal beside you means absolutely nothing if you don't know how to use it. So having these books on a shelf means nothing if they're not being used to change your life or help someone else to change theirs. But having these books to be used to be an instruction, to be a guide, to lead you in study, to lead you in understanding, to help you get a deeper interpretation, you gotta use them. You gotta depend on them. And that goes to the apps that are right in front of us. Deacon Farr mentioned early in the show, technology. There's so much technology. Literally, the Strong Concordance, the books for comparison. I'm looking at the Bible app that I just mentioned right now, and as I read those verses, I'm reading them on my phone, but as I read those verses, you can click on the verse and it brings up compare, and it will compare all the versions of the Bible: NIV, New King James, King James, New Living Translation, Amplified, the Message Bible, English Standard Version. All those pop up with just the click of one button on your screen. So you have the parallels to get interpretation, to get understanding, to get more context on the scriptures. It's all out there. it's been made so easy. And even now you can use Google to find information. If you have a particular word that you want to find biblical reference to, type in the word and type in biblical references to faithfulness, biblical references to adultery, whatever you may be dealing with, whatever you're trying to learn more about, type in biblical references to, and it will give you the scriptures. Take those scriptures and run with them. And as you take those scriptures, study to show thyself approved, and each and every day you grow deeper and deeper. The deeper you grow, the stronger you get. The more rooted you are, you stand like an oak tree in the midst of a storm. You won't be blown over because your roots are deep, because you are held down, because you're anchored in the Word of God. Back to you, sir.
Amen, brother. And, you know, gentlemen, all of what we're saying today on this episode is to encourage you. To encourage you in your spiritual growth, to encourage you to get into the Word, to encourage you to be the man of God created you for, the purpose and reason why God called you out from wherever you was, whatever sin, whatever thing you was into, that he called you out of that thing into the faith of Christ to be his son, to be his child through your faith in Jesus Christ. There's a purpose. And to study the Word and understand the Word and to apply the Word is how God's going to use you. Like my brother said, there's a soul out there that's only going to be saved because of you. You know, a lot of us are here in churches and we hear pastors and everybody's talking about the end times and how things are getting worse and worse and worse. That's true. But now what are you going to do knowing that those who don't believe in Christ are going to perish or suffer? Do you hate them that much that you won't share your faith with them? At least let them give an opportunity to hear the truth of what Jesus Christ has done and how Jesus can save them from the wrath to come. Or do you just hate them that much and you don't care? And if that's true, you're living a life disobedient to what Christ called us to be as the church. And something, you know, this is my new thing. We're in July now. Any brothers talked to me recently, I'm going to start, this is what you're going to start hearing from me. It's time to be the church and stop going to church.
Amen.
Now, a babe in Christ will say, that means I ain't got to go to church no more. Don't say Deacon Farr said you ain't got to go to church no more. Because if that's what you heard, you need to pray. Because we're called to be the church. But we gather together for a reason, to be encouraged, get directions, to have vision and mission. But then we have to put our hands to the plow. Faith without works is dead. And the work is ministry. And I want to be clear. Nothing you're going to do is going to get you into heaven or please God. But God saved you for a work. Amen? Amen, brothers.
Amen.
So, again, I just wanted to encourage you. I got a couple of the apps and websites that I want to share, get them on the record here. Again, you can always go back to www.blogtalkradio.com/DeaconThomasFarr. Or if you received a text for this show, just text me, and I'll send you the scriptures. I'll send you the apps. I'll send you the book titles. And I'm going to post some of them on Facebook this week after this discussion. But let's see. There's one. This is the basic one. Everybody should be able to get this one. Bible.com. When in doubt, Bible.com. Then we have BibleStudyTools.com. We have BlueLetterBible, .com or .org. Oh, wait a minute. It's BlueLetterBible. It's .com, I do believe. Yes, nope, it's BlueLetterBible.org. So that's BlueLetterBible if you type that in. We have Bible Gateway. That's also a website. Mm-hmm. And one other book I want to put on our list, again, is a book called it's called Christian Basics, 66 Essential Truths, Explanation and Application. It's by Robert West. It's called Christian Basics. That's another one from my christianbook.com. And I do believe when I bought this, it was like 99 cents because, you know, I budget. But anyway, these are what we need to be as men of God. These are the things that we should pursue. This is where we should be. And this is another thing that, I'm getting older now, so I stopped caring about people like me or not, but we need to be transformed and renew our minds. Because I know brothers right now in the church who can tell me stats, box scores, batting averages, completion percentages, records. They could tell me about football, baseball, basketball. We can have these conversations. But do we have the same passion and desire for the things of God? Can we sit and have a conversation about 1 and 2 Timothy? Can we talk about Revelation 19? Can we understand what was going on and understand the stories in 1 and 2 Kings? See, I won't go Old Testament on some of y'all because y'all don't even read the Old Testament, but we forgive you. Amen? But see, this is what I'm saying about if we're men of God, if we believe the Word of God, we should be able to know the Word of God and apply the Word of God. And I think, and I just want to encourage you to take this time in this episode to encourage the brothers. Again, we are halfway through 2023. Before we know it, it'll be 2024. And have you grown? Because again, the Bible says you must examine yourselves. We must look at ourselves. What is it? 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 5. Examine yourselves and be sure that you're in the faith. And do you believe the gospel? Do you proclaim the gospel? Do you defend the gospel? Do you demonstrate the gospel? Do you share the gospel? What are you doing? Is the life you're living hindering the gospel? Are you not ashamed of the gospel? These are the questions we have to ask ourselves as men of God. So I just want to encourage you, brothers, to begin to seek these things out, to see for yourself, for your wife, for your children, for your church, for the community, for the lost souls that we're around every day, that we pass in the street. What are we doing to reach them? You know, even the stranger or wherever. Are we prepared? Let me say it like this. I'm going to come to you, Elder. I'm going to say it like this. Are we prepared when God gives us the opportunity to tell someone about Jesus Christ and what they do, what they must do to be saved? Are we prepared when God presents us with the opportunity? Because it can happen anywhere. Amen? Elder Mark, what do you say, sir? I'm going to give you like closing comments, closing prayer. And I appreciate you, brother, getting up this morning and being here. And I appreciate the insight and wisdom you shared and those references. And we're going to continue to pray to brother that listen to this, that there'll be a shift, a change. We stirred some spirit, stirred somebody's spirit up, that they now will go and pursue the things of God, pursue his word, and pursue the application of his word. Again, thank you, brother.
Amen, amen. Yes, we definitely, and forgive me, my mind just went someplace else. But yes, we definitely have to just go deeper in the word. We have to take the time to get our understanding. We have to take the time to apply it to life. We have to take the time to let the word change us. I really feel like if we take time to do something different, Deacon Farr, you mentioned it, and it hit a nerve, kind of. That's where my mind went someplace else. How we can quote so many things. You know, I look at our youth, how they can sing every song on the radio, but some of them can't do mathematics. We as Christians are in that same place. We can sing every praise song that we heard on the radio station that we heard. We can sing all the praise songs, but do we really have a relationship beyond just knowing the songs of our favorite singer or our favorite musician? Do we understand what the scriptures are telling us and what it means to praise, what it means to pray, what it means to worship, the difference between praise and worship? You know, there's so much that we have to do to apply God to our lives that we're called to do different than what the world tells us we should. We sell ourselves short in not giving God the opportunity to really be a part of our lives. We want God when things are bad. We might thank him when things are good, but when we're going through our situations, we try to fix everything on our own or put everything in our own place, in our own manner, in our own decisions, in our own design. And then get mad when something goes wrong, and we say, God, why didn't you fix it? Why didn't you make it right? Well, God is saying, if you would have depended on me first, the situation would be a whole lot different. I just encourage each and every man listening, each and every person that's going to go back, take your time to go into the Word and see what God has for you. Just like Deacon Farr said, every man, there could be 5 men in a room doing a Bible study, and everyone will see something different in the scripture because every one of us has lived a different life. Every one of us has been through different things, and our faith is all built on our situations and our overcoming of those situations. Mine may be because of my health. Another's may be because of prayers were answered with his family. Another may be in a position that he just doesn't trust God because he hasn't seen God move the way he needed him to. Then when we have relationship with God, we see who God is, and we recognize, just as Romans 8 tells us, all things are working for the good of those that love God. All things. That means that no matter how bad it looks, no matter what the situation looks like right now, no matter how dire it looks, no matter how much it looks like imminent death, it's going to work out for your good. And in that good, God will get the glory. And that's just the way we have to walk and live life as men. That's our call, to trust that, to be submitted to God, and recognize that he is always moving. He never stops moving. He never forgets or forsakes. He's always there for his children, and we all are his children. Even if we run away like the prodigal son, we are still able to come back, call upon him, and he's ready to wipe you off, clean you up, and put you in clean robes and put a ring on your finger that says you are due the inheritance that is him. Father God, we honor and bless you. We thank you for another opportunity to discuss your word, to discuss more about understanding who you are and whose we are, about what it means to represent you and to represent you, about what it means to just dive deep into your word for greater understanding. I pray, Lord God, that something was said that will affect another man's life today, that will change his desire and take him from the place of succumbing to the world, take himself from being swayed by worldly teachings, and lean upon what your Holy Spirit shows, what your word gives, and who you are, teaching us, guiding us, each and every man together today, and do so, Lord God, through the presence of your word in our hearts, in our minds, in our souls. We ask, Lord God, that as we receive you, Lord God, we do so, Lord God, in the abundance that is you and you alone, because, Father, you are awesome, almighty, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, Alpha Omega, beginning and end. And we thank you for today, we thank you for yesterday, and we thank you for tomorrow, as you are ever present in our lives. Continue to mold and make us as we lean upon you, and we pray to you this day and every day in the name of your awesome and powerful Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen, brother. Thank you very much. God bless.
God bless.